What's going on, everybody? This is your boy Tamarin Penny, one of your co-hosts and your other one.
Gary Eccles.
And we're here to give you another episode of Two Bosses and One Mic. I know 2 weeks ago we dropped the first episode. I think, you know, we had a couple of good views on there. A couple of people checked us out, gave us, you know, a little feedback. I really appreciate the guys who gave us feedback and took the time to listen to us. So this is the second episode. You know, we got some stuff we want to talk about, you know, bring attention to the people. I mean, again, don't forget to subscribe and, you know, leave a review and, you know, let us know how we're doing. Send us questions or whatnot. But first things first, I want to bring up something, and I want to ask, is it crazy? Like, do you think I'm crazy that I actually want to hear what Kanye had to say in his album? Like, am I crazy?
I mean, I don't think you're crazy. I'm sure everyone wants to hear what he's gonna say in his album, but it's just, I watched the interview, which is an album 45 minutes long, and I'm convinced that he's sick. Like, he's not the same Kanye, and I'm not sure whether it's because of age, I'm not sure because of stuff that happened to him over the course of his career, but he used to be the one to speak on, you know, pro-black things that are going on in society in his music. Old albums, Graduation, College Dropout. You know, he spoke. You can go back and listen to it. He spoke on a lot of pro-black situations, and now he's acting like he's not even, like, black, or not necessarily black, but he's not acting like he's just
necessarily aware.
Aware of what's going on. Yeah. And I watched T.I. Breakfast Club, and T.I. was like, you know, so, you know, you know about Trump foreign policies or whatnot, or what he got going, and Kanye was like, what foreign policies, or what you talking about? So obviously he's not in his right mind, to be honest. I don't know.
Now, I did see, well, I saw the link, but I didn't watch it because I was like, okay, I don't have an hour. But so I appreciate that perspective. From what I've seen now, like I said, this is, you know, this probably could change if I finally sit down and listen to the interview. But, you know, the interview with Tim, you know, the little video with TMZ, seeing his tweets, it's just, I think his idea is on the right track, but his execution and how the end goal, I guess, is, I see what he's trying to bring unity.
I don't see how what he's doing can bring unity.
That's what I'm saying. See, I think the problem is the execution or how he's going about it. And it's like, it seemed contradictory, it seemed hypocritical, it seemed kind of, you know, like they don't mesh. Like, you saying you want unity, but you saying, you know, make America great again, you're running with Trump. It's like, if we know the connotation would make America great again, like, when was America great? You know, are they trying to say when the slavery, you know, that's when you're saying America was great? Now, I'm not going to act like I'm huge into politics, but there's one thing that, if anything else, I feel like Trump was going to do good by, or I will support, is basically the financial realm, you know, for business owners. I really like the fact that, you know, in America, you know, you get a lot of tax breaks for being an entrepreneur. That's one of the reasons why I chose to be one. So, and him being a very successful entrepreneur in that aspect only, I see Trump doing some good or whatever. Now, and I also said this, I spoke with, you know, me and Derek and talked this a couple of times. There's nothing as bad or as good as it seems. So, and that's how.
What you mean, like?
We immediately wrote off Trump. I mean, yeah, he did some crazy, but we immediately wrote him off as the worst president ever. And without really understanding, and we are creatures of emotion. So, sometimes it's good, sometimes it can be bad. But when I say everything is not as good or as bad as it seemed to be, I don't sit here and think Trump is the worst president. And that's how people were projecting him, or was looking, making him seem out to be. Now, granted, I would have to look more into his policies, but people had, like, first day of office, he was going to go up in flames. You know, so that's how people made it seem. And so, but as, you know, as the case, he actually been in office for a year, which is crazy. He's been in office for a year, almost a year and a half. But I think the yay versus everybody kind of, I can kind of see where he's coming from. And, okay, the TMZ, they said something about, you know, they well, not necessarily TMZ, but the point he brought up that slavery was a choice. See, now, I personally think, because he tweeted, I guess, to put it in perspective or put it in context, I think this is just to save his butt. I don't think he really meant it, but I still nonetheless think it was a great point. That Harriet Tubman said, she freed thousands of slaves, and she would have freed more if they only knew they were slaves. So, going into slavery was not a choice. I get that. And I think that's what Kanye was trying to say. Just, I don't know. I think he was trying to say something else, but he still didn't say it right. And I also think he meant something. I don't think he meant in the same way Harriet Tubman tried. I think he just tried to use that to save himself. But I do believe what Harriet Tubman said. That is very true. And yeah, unfortunately, there was times, you know, in slavery where Harriet Tubman tried to save them and they didn't want to go. You know, they was scared of the unknown. They was content with known hells instead of unknown heavens. And in that aspect, you know, I wanted to, you know, kind of ask, am I choosing to be a mental slavery to this world as far as, like, going through that cycle of, you know, going to school, getting good grades, get a job, and then working 40 years. Like, am not saying it's bad, but that's a real cycle. And some people fall slave to that mentality. Like, can you see the correlation in that?
I can't. I always said that, well, I mean, nobody really ever told me this, but I just came to the realization of seeing, like, stuff, you know, on my own as growing up, and we are really not free until we become mentally free. And what I mean by that is knowing that you don't have any limitations, knowing that it's always an alternate route to, you know, success or anything. Like, I always believed in it. So I do feel like people are slaves to the norm, because when you come or you have a conversation about, you can't have these certain conversations with everybody, because a lot of people are not open-minded enough to, well, this is not the right way to do it because X, Y, and Z, but I mean, have you tried it?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, people are scared to try things, and people are scared to go about certain things a different route because they see a lot of people don't have success in doing it. But like Kanye said, what Harriet Tubman said, I like his point, but he should have went about it a different way.
Yeah,
he should have presented it a different way.
Yeah.
And I understand what he means, like, because like in books and like self-development books, they always tell you, you are what you think you are. Mm-hmm. So if you think you this and that, that's what your mindset. This is how your mindset is gonna come. So if you think you a slave, you're gonna be like, well, I'm a slave, it's gonna be my life. But Harriet Tubman and people that was involved in the slavery revolution, they all had one thing in common, which is, I'm not a slave. This is not how life is supposed to be for me. I'm not supposed to live my life working for somebody. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, for basically bare minimum.
Exactly.
You know, if you're going to, you know, like I said, it's nothing wrong, you know, working a job, but make sure you can pay what you're worth. You know, you guys, you know, it's just some people out there that I understand there are certain situations that, you know, that kind of prevent us from getting ahead or whatever the case may be. But in all honesty, you can always find success stories of somebody beating odds. You can always do it. And you gotta look at it like, okay, even if it's not a success story exactly or close to or similar to yours, why not be the first one? You know, but it's not easy. Like, it's not easy. So don't ever say, you know, I'm making it sound like it's just super easy to do. It's not. But there are ways. You know, some people don't even take the time to go to the library. Some people don't take the time to go and meet or somebody at work, combine ideas. There's plenty of people at work that I met at work that has ideas and has things they want to do, want to accomplish, and want to work together on. All you gotta do is simply open your mouth, and you don't know what type of resource they may have for you or you may have for them where you can help them come together. So just little things like that can just change your environment and change how, you know, you do things. But back with the Kanye thing, I think I want to believe he really want unity. He really wants the better for our people. But deep down, just a little bit, like right under his, I'm just thinking he's just doing this for publicity, just for people to hear his album.
I kind of, like I said, before I even saw the interview, my first thing in my mind is he doing this to create buzz for his album. And he talked about in the interview, I don't want to go too in-depth in the interview because, I mean, it's there for you to go see and watch, but he talked about how he had success in his music, and his music is not being publicized like it usually is. And he was like, he don't know if it's whether the Taylor Swift situation or, you know, some of the situations he's been in, controversial situations he's been in that affected his, and he didn't sound, it didn't make sense. Like, the Kanye I knew, and then he talked about he lost his confidence. Like, I honestly think that he's going through something mentally and nobody is giving him help because they think that he's doing this for fun or they think they're doing this for a stunt. But I think he, in actuality, I think he really is sick. Like, he is, because he's not, because anytime, okay, I can say, okay, you get a little money, some people might change, but they're not going to go to the far as, not even, like, when you look at them or when you hear them talk and have a conversation with them, you don't even think they know who they are anymore. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't think you would go to that extreme. So I really think that it's something mentally wrong with Kanye. But at the same time, his wife is Kim Kardashian.
That's what I was going to say.
And they are big publicity stunts. Like, made, they professionals. Like, so I kind of can see that, but
I used to, I always thought this joke was bad. You know, was kind of mean, but it's like, it's kind of serious. Like, that Kardashian curse. I mean, you really, how can you not see the common denominator, you know, what's common and what's the same? I mean, you had Lamar Odom. I mean, you see Tristan Thompson. You see, like I said, you see Kanye. I mean, after what's his name? Chris Humphries got it. Like, he done got song.
Yeah,
you know.
And then the mom, too. What's the guy name that turned to a woman?
Oh,
Bruce?
Yeah,
his Bruce.
Well, Jen. Caitlin,
whatever his name is, yeah. He was married to the head of the snake, which is the mom, and he decided he didn't want to be a man no more. So it's like, what is the deal with dating a Kardashian?
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. I mean, it just seemed like I used to not didn't want to agree with this because it was like, man, that's mean. You know, you're saying it, but it's like at this point, it's like
you gotta look at it. One common denominator out of every situation, and it's been a Kardashian. I like the Kardashians, you know what I'm saying? I don't think they create any harm, but it's like, what is going on in the relationship, or what are they being presented to that your life goes downward rather than going up?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't understand.
So I don't either, but Like I said, we can go ahead and move past that. I'm trying to see. What else did I have in mind?
How about the Waffle House situations? Not only the killings, but the black lady being wrestled to the ground on video with her top.
Yeah.
That her breast being exposed. Yeah.
I see that.
And the Starbucks situation, too. I mean, we don't talk about it.
Yeah,
all, you know, in depth, but I mean, it's just crazy how
it. Okay, it's for the ones who still don't believe, you know, that we are looked unfairly. We are being, I think that's true, but it's just we are looked different in America. It's true, because I'm sorry, you can say it's isolated incidents, but it just seemed too many times, or you could just say the media, I always put this out, but it seemed just too many times, you know, young black male always get the short end of the stick, you know, but, you know, a white male, you know, it just seemed like they just always be, no matter what, like, this guy, they found him, they had no problem putting cuffs on him and, you know, send him to jail. What pissed me off most about this, he had no motive. So people who just wanted to hang out, you know, it's a, you know, late Saturday night or, you know, whatever, Sunday morning, whatever you want to call it, since I think it had like 2 or 3 in the morning. What? You just came in and just shot up the Waffle House.
Yeah, it's crazy. I got 2 problems with this situation. The first problem is they tried to give this man bail. Like, they literally tried to give him bail until they heard, like, the craziness outside the world, like, you really gonna get this man bail after what he just did? And he's a repeat offender. He got caught outside the White House trying to do I don't know what, and the FBI took his guns, gave it to his father, and then the father gave the guns back, which is predictable. I mean, if I have a son, I got some type of soft spot for him. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt, you know, son. Not supposed to do that, blah 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 blah. So I'm like, I'm gonna trust him, what's got it? But you can't trust people that are mentally like crazy. And two, when they caught him, I'm pretty sure if this man was black, he would have been dead by now.
Yeah.
If he would have shot up, I mean, I'm not trying to be racist. I'm not trying to come off as being racist. But if he would have been in Brentwood and he was black, and he shot up a Waffle House in Brentwood, he would not be living right now.
Yeah.
And that's my problem, like, with any white or any white mass killer, they approach them so
different.
Like, the guy that shot up their church, guy that shot up the movies, they didn't even attempt to pull out their guns and shoot these guys. Come on, let's arrest you. But if he was black, he's being aggressive. He was reaching for his gun.
Yeah.
Man.
And
that's what kills
And
me,
that's
bro.
That's the reality of it. No, we're not, for you people, you know, the ones out here who want to twist what we're saying, we're not saying that they should shoot the white man. No, we're just saying we just want to be handcuffed and sent to jail just like they do. You know, we don't want nobody to die. Now, with that being said, I do understand police officer jobs are hard. And you can't really tell on every situation. And you have a family and, you know, loved ones too. But this trend is coming too often. You know, it's hitting too close at home. And I really think there should be better training, you know, with that. Or it just seems like just something has to change.
We should get the benefit of the doubt or a fair chance, just like, everybody should be treated the same in situations that are similar. So if you get a call saying that this guy has done this, that, and that, don't come to the person that's probably not black or he's white, come with him with guns not drawn and talking to him and having a conversation, asking him what happened, rather than going to the situation where the suspect is black and you got your hand on your gun ready to, you know, pull the trigger. I mean, we want the equal chance. I mean, you can have a conversation with a black man just like you had a conversation with a black I mean, a white man or a white woman. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, we want the same thing. And that's my thing. Like, when somebody's coming at you hostile, I don't care whether he's white or black. Okay, then you can clutch your gun, but don't go in a situation already ready, you know, hand on the trigger, ready to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like I said, especially if you see him, you know, you see both his hands, and like I said, I understand if they not compliant, they talking back. You know, I understand if they are being aggressive. I understand that's all on them. Yeah. You know, but, you know, there have been situations to where, you know, young black man pulled out his wallet, getting shot. You know, another, you know, young black man at a Walmart with a toy sword, you know, dressed up as a samurai, getting shot. It, you know, it's just like, why are we so quick to, so quick to shoot? And instead of just act like, hey, what's going on? Why you had the sword, you know?
Yeah, and then, like, they not use, because, I mean, I went to college for criminal justice, so I learned a little bit about, What precautions police have to do before they take deadly force. And the videos that are being released are not them taking them precautions, because it's steps to what's supposed to be, quote unquote, steps you take before you have to use deadly force. And they are not doing it. So it's like, how are you training your police officers if they not going through the proper announcing who they are, telling them if they don't do the X, Y, and Z, this is what's going to happen. If they don't do X, Y, and Z, then they're going to resort to this type of force. Why is that not being implanted when they come up on the suspect? I don't care if they white or black. Why are you not going through the steps that you supposedly have, that are laws that you supposedly have to go through before you can use deadly force? And that's my problem with that too.
Like, okay, like I said, you probably have better info on that. I mean, you actually took it. I know a little bit, but
you can look it up on the internet. What steps do policemen have to take before they can use deadly force? And I mean, it's,
yeah, but I mean, then, you know, big shout out to James Shaw, the one, you know, the hero. Who took the initiative to, you know, risk his life to, you know, not only to live for himself, but, you know, and he helped others, you know, keep their lives. Unfortunately, there were some that did, you know, pass, and, you know, condolences to their families. Their son is still injured. But, I mean, it's just really sad that, I mean, regardless of what, you know, color you, you know, race you are, there are people like that. You know, there are sick people who could just walk in somewhere and shoot up a place and not care. You know,
and it happened to anybody. Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure that the people that went to Waffle House that night didn't even think that anything was gonna happen like that. Especially, I mean, it's just crazy how anything can happen at any given moment. And you just gotta, it's no way to avoid that. Like, it's no way that could have been like, you know what, we're not going to Waffle House tonight because somebody gonna shoot it up. Like, who thinks like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't avoid stuff like that. And that's why it's very important to pray. Like, just keep yourself prayed up, because you never know.
It's just, I mean,
you never know.
Not saying, you know, this is not the victim's fault, not whatsoever. But it's like, now you got to think, I say, you know, should I be out late at night? You know, it's because it's really getting that bad. Because, like, three in the morning, anybody should want to go to Waffle House at 3 a.m, get something to eat or chill with their friend if they want to. But now it's like, you just
think twice.
You know, you got to think twice about it, which is sad and unfortunate part about it. You know, I probably just keep my curfew to 12, 1 o'clock and, you know, be back home, you know. But so kind of segue, you know, just kind of go hand in hand with this next question or this next segment. But, you know, our boy Tupac, you know, asked me to kind of bring on the podcast. Do we think current music affects or influence today's generation or society? You can go first if you want.
Man, it's kind of like a hard question, because music can influence certain people, you know. Matter of fact, music can influence everybody. It's just how you interpret it and how you let it motivate you, if that makes any sense. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you could be, for example, I listen to Wiz Khalifa, you know. He motivates me in a different way, but I don't smoke. Like, I don't smoke weed, but he talks about that in his music. But I don't do it, but it's like something about him that motivates me. I don't know whether it's because I watched him when I was younger, as he really grew into this big artist, and it really motivates me to do better. Or you can make an example for like Rick Ross or Jay-Z. I mean, those type of people that I look up to and be like, you know what, they really came from, they built their system, and they also talk about social issues that's going on in the world, and they actually try to help the black people to become entrepreneurs or whatnot. So, I mean, I guess it can motivate you in a good way or a bad way, but I'm not sure whether it, I have the, I don't know whether it's, I'm trying to put this in words. I don't know, I can't really answer that question because I don't know the person who's listening to the music that makes any sense. Like, a lot of people can be influenced by this or that. I'm really not sure if I can answer that question, because it depends on the person that's listening to the music and who they're listening to. So,
I mean, I do think there's a subliminal influence, well, not subliminal, subconscious influence. Not necessarily, you know, the killing part. We all know killing is wrong. Even we know some of them, a lot of these rappers say that they ain't, you know, doing it, or, you know,
a lot of rappers say they do that just because people like listen to it.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what they say.
So, you know, you do got some, you know, some people in the streets who actually, you know, about it, who actually do it. But I'm not even talking about that aspect. I'm really talking about the money, the drugs, the cars. I do think because subconsciously we don't necessarily, you know, buy, you know, we subconsciously we do live above our means as a people. Mm-hmm. And I do think, I'm not saying it's all the, you know, the music industry fault or, you know, today's music, but I do think it plays a role. You know, we want to, I mean, we can't afford the, you know, the $100,000 change, but we're going to, you know, we're going to buy some change. You know, we can't afford the, you know, the Benz and BMWs and stuff like that, but we're going to fix up our car. We're going to have these 215s in the trunk. We're going to get these, you know, we're going to get some 24s or whatever and tint our windows and be, you know, be weighing it. And so, or we want to, you know, spread money and spend it on clothes and not really save. So, subconsciously, that's what we're doing and not thinking about it, because that's what we're hearing. You know, that's what looks good. And I mean, I learned this, you know, when I was in Atlanta this past weekend. But the guy that made, you know, the highest paid earner in that company, I was with, making over, you know, $100 million, and he had on some Skechers. Like, I mean, you won't even, the average millionaire, or probably more than the average millionaire, you won't even know he's a millionaire. You know, they don't have name brand cars. You know, they probably have a nice sized house. You know, they really live under their means, because they understand the value of it.
They understand money, and they understand how money works. A lot of millionaires got one thing in common. They really understand how to let their money work for them. And they learned it early, because it's like, I don't have to get these $200 shoes when I can get these $50 shoes and look just as fine. And at the end of the day, it really don't matter, because you're really just doing it for show. Yeah. When rather you can just save that money, save that $150 and put it towards something else that eventually is gonna make you more money. So a lot of people, They do, but I mean, it like I said, it depends on the personality, because some people understand money, but they like flashy, like they can be flashy with it. But
I mean, and that's true. That's true. I'm not saying any, you know, everybody who showed that they have a little money don't mean they really broke, and you know, they might still have some money, and vice versa. Somebody can just look broke and really be broke, you know. Yeah. So, I understand that. But I just think majority we don't. There's less than 50% of us, you know, there's less than 50% of, you know, really our generation who even have life insurance, who started an investment, who it's less than 50%. And our generation actually, there's more of us than there are the baby boomers, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was like, what, 93 billion in our generation, while the baby boomers was 87 billion. So I think that's very, I think that's kind of sad, you know, that we don't take the time to understand the importance of money. We do take a blame now since we're grown, but I do think this is something that should be put in the curriculum. You know, because we don't know about it. And then it's like, we kind of learn, okay, we just spend, because really being broke is you spending more than what you're making. That's basically what it is, and listen to this music. Sometimes we fall into that trap, and so I do get that some people, that some rappers' childhood upbringing was a little rough, and this, I may not agree or condone what they do, but they had to do what they had to do, like a Jay-Z, you know, but they knew when to stop.
Yeah.
They knew once they got to a certain point, okay, let's use this money to do, you know, put it somewhere else. So again, not condoning it, not, you know, saying it's okay, but they did have the mindset to do what they, whatever opportunity that was there for them at the time, they used it, got where they need to go, and they built something. And that look at Jay-Z, you know, that's one of the reasons why I like Don Tripp. In his raps, he describes certain situations, and it's like, man, I'm
relatable.
I've been through that. I mean, I say this all the time. One time, one of his verses, he said he opened up a freezer, and all he saw was fish sticks. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I remember, like, opening up a freezer, and all I saw was fish sticks. You know, because that's why I like him. And as he really did grind, you know, he basically tell us how he had to grind when his first child was born. You know, he wasn't on. He was like, I got to make it no matter what. And I think that's the type of mindset we got to have. Nobody else is going to see our future. We have to see it. And that's what's wrong with us sometimes. We don't see it, and therefore we give up. But we'll choose our known hells, because we don't see the end goal. We don't see the future.
Yeah.
You know, well, we can't definitely say that, but you have to. You got to believe so bad that it's imprinted in your head, and you got to go out there and get it. And I personally think the majority of this music don't help. But I do agree with you. Say I do think it influences some. You know, I just think it depends on the person. Because I mean, we listen to it, and you know, like I said, I don't. You know, Rob still kill it. You know, nothing like that. I'm, you know, working on my finances, so. I do think there should be a, you know, mixture of different music to really help out the community. I do think there should be a low, you know, it should kind of go down. We should stop supporting it as much. Yeah. It just, you know, as a community, until we can help change our mindset. Or if we can help change our mindset, we won't let it influence to a certain extent. But that's really all we had. That's pretty much time. A little over 30
minutes, but I feel it's a good podcast.
Yeah, me too, same here.
We covered a lot of topics and a lot of input on different opinions on certain situations, so we did pretty good. So,
and you know, it's crazy, that's how I even said that I was going to link that, I was going to connect that to the adventure, so I just used this as the boss tip before. But before I get to that, subscribe to the, you know, podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Tamir and Penny, you know, I said Boss Up TV. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at bossuppenny@gmail.com, or you can use the hashtag on Twitter. I'm sorry, the hashtag on Twitter, hashtag Ask Penny. But so before we head out, like I said, boss tip. This is major spoilers for the. If you haven't seen Avengers, really, you're just really tripping. But there's Doctor Strange, you know, checked the future of the infinite different scenarios on how, you know, to win or whatever. He went over 14 million, you know, and only there was only one possible outcome. And now we're led to believe, you know, how it ended up, you know, how the universe wiped out, that was the only way to get to that victory. Now, we don't know yet till we get to the second part, but that's what we're led to believe. And that's why, because, you know, he said he wasn't going to give up if it was between the stone and Stark and Peter's life, he was going to choose the stone. But he ended up giving the stone for Stark's life. So, I say that, like I said, like I just said, work like, or act like you know what the future is.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to take the bumps and bruises. Doctor Strange knew by giving up this stone, in order to win, he was going to have to lose his life. Or his soul had to be. So he was willing to do that, knowing that.
And sacrifice.
So you have to understand sacrifice. If you want to, you have to believe in your future. You got to believe that you will win, but you have to make the sacrifice to do it. But that's all we had today. I appreciate you guys checking us out. Like I said, we're dropping every 2 weeks of the podcast. If you guys would like, you know, us to drop on a more frequent basis, you know, that's up to you guys with the reviews, with the ratings.
The feedback.
The feedback, the questions. So if we can get more and more of that, we will most definitely drop on a more consistent basis. But other than that, peace out.
Peace.